If you will look at the reading on page 3 that we had from Luke chapter 1, you'll see towards the end of that reading in verses 32-33, the angel Gabriel is saying, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Giving gifts is a key part of a Christian Christmas. Christianity is therefore fairly materialistic, and not in the bad sense of greed or of finding meaning for ourselves in the acquisition of possessions. After all, Christmas is not about getting presents, it's about giving presents, because Jesus himself said it was more blessed to give than to receive. But Christianity is materialistic in the good sense. That is, it values this world. It's not so other holy world. It's not the other, it's this world where the Lord Jesus Christ came. And we give to each other things that we value because we believe in the creation of God. And so we give this world's presents because this world is worthwhile and valuable. But the reasons Christians give gifts at Christmas is because it's the season when we celebrate the two great gifts of God. The greatest gift that God gave, he gave to us. Of course, it's the gift of his one and only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As the famous Bible verse has it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." At Christmas, we celebrate the time when the present was delivered, wrapped up in a tiny little baby. For wrapped up in that tiny baby was the man who would die on the cross. Wrapped in that tiny little baby was the man who would die our death as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross. Wrapped up in that little baby was the man who would grow to be the saviour of the whole world. But all that lay in the future. When God's gift of his Son was delivered at Bethlehem, it was a gift that was a still wrapped up present, waiting for the moment when he would save the world by his death and resurrection. But tonight I want to talk about the second gift. The first gift we know about, I hope, I trust. The other gift, God's other Christmas gift, his second present, is quite different. It's not the one he gave us, but it's the one he gave to Jesus. Given and wrapped up for the baby at Bethlehem, but not opened for another 30 years. The present that was promised for centuries by the Old Testament prophets and now was promised by the angel Gabriel to Mary. The centre of Gabriel's message is not about Mary, and it's not even about the miracle of the virgin birth. The centre of Gabriel's message is about Jesus and what he is and who he is to become. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. This one you are going to have as a child is going to be the Son of God. He's going to be the Son of David. He's going to reign on David's throne. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob and or Israel. He's going to reign forever and forever. This one is to be the Messiah, the King, the Lord, the Christ. This is what the Old Testament had been talking about right back from the days of Genesis, when Judah was said to be the tribe from which the king was going to come. Right back from the days of David, when David's son was said to be the king that God was going to appoint forever. David was told, "Your son will be my son," says God. And David's son will always sit on the throne of David's empire. And how big is David's empire? Well, all the nations will rise up against it, but they will all be put down. For when David's son sits on David's throne, he will reign over all the nations of the world for all time. That is the promise of sitting on David's throne. That is what it means to be born in David's city, to be born as a son of David, to be born as the Son of God. even over the rebellious nations of the world, especially over the rebellious nations of the world, we're told in Psalm 2, God would reign through his Son, who would be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Ruler of Rulers, the Master of the universe forever. That's what Isaiah was talking about when he said those famous Christmas words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And of the increase of the government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore." So what was the second gift that God gave? The first gift, he gave us his Son. What was the second gift? Listen again to the words of Gabriel. "And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." God gave his Son the throne of David to reign over the house of Israel forever. God gave him the throne of David to reign over all the nations of the world forever. God gave his Son the world and all its peoples. God gave his Son Australia and this city and you and me. He gave us all to his Son. Now, Christmas was only the delivery of the package. It was Easter that it was finally opened and experienced. The baby in the manger was only the delivery of the gift. But it was by the spotless life of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his death for the sins of the world that he overcame death and rose up to sit at the right hand of God in all power and authority to rule the world forever, so that God was able to make him both Lord and Christ, the one that we crucified. Well, here then are the two gifts of God. A far more costly gift, an expensive one, is that he gave us his Son to pay the penalty for our sins. That one, that gift, is often spoken of and understood. The less costly, but far more offensive gift, was that he gave us to his Son to rule over us forever. Far more offensive, because it's so undemocratic. But who does he think he is, God or something, that he gives whole peoples to his Son? Far more offensive because he didn't respect other cultures and other religions and other gods, but he gave all the world to this one Son, to the King of Israel. He gave the Assyrians and the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Romans and the Australians and the Brits, and he's given the Chinese and the Indians. He's given all nations to the King of Israel, his Son. Far more offensive because he didn't ask me if I wanted to be given to his Son. I mean, who does he think he is, God or something, that he can just give me away? Far more offensive because I'm not somebody's creation to just be handed around as a present to other people. Who does he think he is, the Creator or something? The gift is not one that rebellious people ever want to remember or celebrate at Christmas time. We don't mind the part about God giving his Son to us. That's all right. We don't even mind the fact that he gives his Son to us to die for us. Well, that's all right. But for us to be given to his Son, that's unacceptable. That's not on. Who does he think he is, this God who rules the universe? But that is the gift that God gave to his Son, that the angel promised Mary. The heavenly host was singing about to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, for unto you is born this day in the city of David is a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." That's what the gospel message is about. It's about the Son of God, who is the Son of David, who is the King of all the nations. And how does he become the Son of God? We're told in Romans chapter 1. He was declared to be the Son of God in power by the Spirit through his resurrection from the dead. Well, God gave you his Son. Have you accepted that gift? And God gave his Son the gift of you. Has he accepted that gift? Well, you may think it's very important that you accept the gift of God, that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, that you accept his death for you, and that is very important. But more important for your eternal destination is whether the Son of God accepts you than whether you accept him. He's the one who is going to determine your eternal destination, not you. Have you been accepted as part of God's gift to him, accepted as part of God's kingdom, as part of God's family, or are you still part of the opposition that the Lord Jesus Christ will destroy? Well, we're just about at the 25th of December, and so we're celebrating this Christmas. But what are we celebrating this Christmas? Just the gift of the Son? Or both the gift of the Son and the gift to the Son? Actually, if you don't celebrate both, you really can't celebrate either. For if Jesus is not our Lord and Christ, then he is not our Saviour. If we are not part of his kingdom, given to him by his Father, then we are not saved by his death and resurrection for us either. So join with us all in celebrating this Christmas, Christianly. Celebrating not only the fact that Jesus has been given to us by God, what a terrific, unbelievable gift that he should give us his only Son, but celebrating also that we've been given to his Son, that he is ours and that we are his. For God has given him to us and he's given us to him. Praise God for that. For if he hadn't given his Lord, my Lord, to me, I would still be in my sins and lost. And if he hadn't given me to my Lord, I would never want to know about Jesus either. Praise God for the two gifts and celebrate both gifts this Christmas. We sing now a quieter carol. Child in the manger, infant of Mary, outcast and stranger, but do you see what was meant? He was Lord of all. He inherits our transgressions and all our demerits on him fall. But he is more than that. For look towards the third verse. Worthy our Saviour of all their praises, happy forever. A who? His own. Are you one of his own? Let's stand and sing it together.